I've entitled my homily today, Ever Ripening Fruit. Ever Ripening Fruit. Now, I don't know if any of you have a similar experience. I really like food, and I often have memories and associations that are associated with particular foods. Take, for instance, last evening. We had corn on the cob, and it was the best corn on the cob I've had of the season. That the kernels were full, the flavor was sweet, and right away it brought to my mind a memory of my childhood. I grew up in Quebec, and as a child, we had a cottage in what are called the Eastern Townships of Quebec. And every year during the month of August, I would remember we would drive about 10 kilometers to the place where we would buy corn. And at that time, you could get a dozen pieces for $5. And I remember last night as I was eating this piece of delicious corn, not only the memory of driving to get the corn in the Eastern Townships and then husking it and eating it, but it brought back memories of what it was like to have that summer cottage. Eating corn brought this memory to mind. Well, in today's first reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul uses a food association to think about the resurrection. He says that Jesus Christ is the first fruits. What did he mean by that? Well, for the Jewish people, the Feast of Pentecost, held 50 days after Passover, was the festival of first fruits, when farmers would bring to the priest the first fruits of the harvest that was to come. And it was a time of great celebration where they gave thanks to God for the gift of the produce of the land. And in today's reading, Paul wants us to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the first sign of ever-ripening fruit. That the resurrection did not only impact our Lord, but that his resurrection was an anticipation of our resurrection from the dead. I don't know how carefully you listened to that reading, but as Alfredo read it, perhaps you were struck by the repetition of the little two-letter word, if. St. Paul uses it 7 times in these verses. St. Paul was a master debater, and here he's wanting to make a very clear point. It's the following. If Christ has been raised from the dead, we will be raised from the dead. And conversely, if we are not going to be raised from the dead, Christ has not been raised from the dead. Because here was the problem in Corinth. They believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead. But they were questioning, how will that impact us? We're not going to be raised from the dead. No, when we're dead, we're dead. And St. Paul says that is absolutely stupid. That is crazy. That is impossible. And the point he's wanting to make is the following. If Christ is raised from the dead, you and I are going to be raised from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is futile. My faith is futile. We better not be here. We should just pack up the whole operation and go home and do something else. Because this is an absolute waste of time. That's what Paul's getting at. But because Christ has been raised from the dead, Paul wants you and me to know that we too are going to be raised from the dead. So our faith is not futile. What does that mean for us? It means everything. So often, and it's understandable because life is so profoundly difficult, we can, in a sense, subjectify our faith. That our faith becomes subjective. It's based on my feelings. And if I'm going through a hard time, if life is difficult, it leads me to doubt whether or not the faith is true. Not so for St. Paul. St. Paul had such a clear understanding of the objective reality of the resurrection of Christ from the dead that he was able to say, our faith is not futile. Our faith is not in vain. I don't know all of what you're going through right now, the things you're struggling with in your life. Maybe things around health, maybe things around finance, maybe just wondering, what's it all for? And that's why we need particularly 1 Corinthians 15. This is one of the longest chapters in the whole of the New Testament. And St. Paul wants to encourage you and me to recognize that there is this ever-ripening fruit. The ever-ripening fruit is the faith of those who put their confidence in Christ. And as we do that, what does such a community look like? Well, something like the very early Christian community. We're told by St. Luke that Jesus is going throughout Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And remarkably, a number of women are coming into Jesus' company. Two we know something about from today's reading. First, Mary Magdalene, from whom seven demons had been exorcised. And we can imagine what a qualitative difference this made in Mary's life. One having been bound by the powers and the evil spirits of this world is brought into a new orientation where she knows who she is in relation to Jesus. And then interestingly, and this is only told in St. Luke's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and John do not tell us of Joanna. Who is Joanna? Well, she is the wife of Chuzza, who's the steward of Herod. Now, here's the thing just to ponder. Right around when this story is unfolding in the Gospel according to St. Luke, just before this, Herod has had John the Baptist put to death. And Joanna, the wife of the steward, Chuzza, he was perhaps the guy who was at that dinner party serving Herod and the boys when Salome's daughter came and did that evocative dance. Here's the point I want you to take home with you. The gospel of Jesus is always being proclaimed, and people are coming to him in the midst of another worldview, another way of living, the way of Herod. But something had so touched Joanna's life that she not only responded to Jesus, but she then gave out of her resources to the kingdom that he was proclaiming. You see, the gospel is always at work in a world where there's a dominant story that's different than the gospel story. The same thing was true for Paul in Corinth. Corinth was a city known for license and vice and godlessness. But in the midst of that city, Paul was saying, there's another way to use your body. There's another way to live your life, to be orientated towards Christ. Because although that corn I had last evening, boy, it was good. It was gone within 4 minutes. And then into the recycling went the cob. But for you and me, we're part of a kingdom. We're part of a harvest that will be ever ripening. Because as we read in today's collect, these beautiful words we prayed. Almighty ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit we dare to call our Father. We call the Almighty ever-living God our Father. How's that to impact our lives? Well, listen to what we prayed next. Bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption, that, beloved, you and I would know that we are children of the resurrection, that we have an eternal destiny, a destiny the collect goes on to anticipate when we then prayed that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. In a world like this, we need the resurrection of Christ. In a world like this, where our bodies are decaying, where we're getting older, where death is before us, we need to know the ever-ripening fruit, because Jesus Christ is the first fruits, and his resurrection anticipates ours.